Welcome to Insight Out, the Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
Hey, nudity is not just skin deep, and we do our best to uncover our truth from common and not so common beliefs, perceptions, assumptions, and attitudes through conscious conversation, poetry, music, and humor. I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
Boy, that sounded like a lot.
I know. You should have read that.
Holy cow. Beliefs, perceptions, assumptions. Boy, you better all buckle up there.
You wrote that.
I did? Holy cow. That's embarrassing. I am the guy who wrote that, Errol Strider. And guess what? Tonight's show is brought to you by two sponsors, actually, our wonderful ongoing sponsor, Go Raw, 100% raw foods that not only taste good, but they're just so good for you.
And?
The other sponsor is tonight is Stepping Back, Being the Witness. Yeah, we're going to start having sponsors on our show each week that are like good ideas or ideas that maybe we should forget. Either way, they're going to sponsor our show on a regular basis.
And our ongoing sponsor and wonderful sponsor, Go Raw, can be found in Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco, among other places. So go to GoRaw.com to find a store near you and find out more about Go Raw products. So
excellent.
Tonight's show is coming to you by our second sponsor, who changes weekly, Stepping Back, Being the Witness. Well, I was thinking about it today, and as I read what I wrote, it's sort of rambling, but I'll do my best.
Sort of rambling?
No commentary, please, okay. Until I'm done.
Okay.
There is a saying that you can't see the forest for the trees. I mean, we have to step back or go above to see the entire forest, the whole. And so it is with life. In order to expand consciousness, we have to be able to see more, become the impartial witness. More and more people are becoming aware that they have to become aware. You know, a long time ago, I worked for a fabricating company that made furniture. And they had these fast-moving saws that were really scary. And I remember saying to the foreman, "Isn't this dangerous?" And he said, "Only if you're not aware." And I thought that was really neat that he understood that. And I mean, our family motto, right, is show up, pay attention, and stay in touch. It's one way to become aware, to watch carefully, to be a witness to our actions, our thoughts, or our feelings. Errol, you know, you've used that wonderful metaphor of flying a plane and watching the screen to see if we are online with the line on the screen. And the pilot makes whatever adjustments necessary to get back online. And for us, we can call it getting back to center. We need to be witnesses to being off center in order to come back. And what does all of that mean? What does it mean to be centered or uncentered? When we're centered, we're aligned with our heart and mind and body and spirit. We feel and deduce and act consciously. We are aware that others, no matter how different they may appear, feel and think of very similar things to us. From our centered space, we can feel them and understand them and ourselves. And from that awareness, it becomes easier and easier to act with love.
Really?
In truth.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if that was wandering, meandering,
or rambling.
I'm
the rambling rose tonight, honey.
She is the right rambling rose. By the way, just to remind you all, try as you may, there is no escape from the now. It will creep up on you. It will permeate you. And it is actually doing all that right now. So It will maybe do that, but we know for sure it's doing it now, and we hope that it will continue to do it as we progress through the timeless space of
existence.
But when
we get there, it'll be the now.
Right. I knew that.
It's always the easiest way to find out, right?
That is one way to find out, to get there. And part of this process here of being the witness,
to be there,
is to be able to step back and not only observe what's going on so you can make course correction, but I think there's another aspect, perhaps a deeper aspect. I'm reminded of Yeshua 8 deep. I'm reminded of Yeshua and him saying that the greatest experience is to be the experiencer of the experience. And the way I understand that is that
felt so good when I could just feel that. I could feel
really?
Being
felt
the
good,
experience
huh?
of the
Ooh,
experience.
Wow.
Feeling the experience is what it's saying.
Yeah, and it's the awareness. And what happens is there's this infinite awareness, but it's so big and infinite, it likes to get particular, evidently, because there's a lot of particularity in the universe, little objects or patterns and relationships that appear as objects, but that's another subject. And each of us offers that possibility for that ultimate experiencer to be able to experience reality manifesting in all sorts of wondrous and varied ways. And it's like we're given God a front row seat into the unfolding story of our existence.
Well, it's a little, it's definitely metaphysical and it's definitely abstract. And
really?
I can relate to it on many levels, though, because especially last night, I watched a tiny little bit of a football game, which I haven't seen in a while. I mean, the actual watching a football game. I mean, and there was a play that was like a aha moment, where the receiver of the ball that was thrown by the quarterback, they were in such sync, and they were in the right place at the right time that the ball was so effortlessly caught, and yet I was so aware that they were so aware of what was happening. They just played their parts perfectly in that awareness of where they needed to be, where they needed to throw to. And it was a gestalt experience. And for the viewer watching it, it was an aha moment. It was like, oh my God, how did he do that? It seemed like it was not possible. And yet I feel that we can live our lives like that all the time. We can receive life like that, in just that perfect way that you just lift up your hand and the ball's in it. If we could only realize and watch when we go off the mark and bring ourselves back to it, the contact can be made.
That makes me think of a song by John Lennon. And let's listen to it.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. Time, boy, you're no longer on the ball. questions, lost in confusion. Will I tell them there's no problem, only solutions? Will they shake their heads and they look at me as if I've lost my mind? I told them there's no hurry, I'm just sitting here doing time.
Well, this is post-Beatles, isn't it?
I guess so.
I Have There's, to Let It Go? Is that the name of it?
No, Watching the Wheels, John Lennon.
Watching the Wheels.
Huh. And what's interesting is that he kind of he surely stepped back in that song, and it feels like, as a result of his incredible fame and success and all the madness and the busyness and the intensity of all that, he chose at that point, anyway, in which the song was written, to kind of step back and take it easy and let go. And I think that's part of the gift of stepping back and being the witness, because the more I do that, it's kind of like this lesson in the Course in Miracles, which I often do with myself, and it says, today I rest in God. And there is this sense of I can just kind of kick back and be at rest and not be driven by compulsivity or other impulses that really drive me around and drive me crazy.
I think that we're giving so many different definitions of what the witness is all about. Why do we need a witness? Why witness? You know, I mean, I can see that it is. That it's good to have a witness, but for what purpose do we take out the witness? For what purpose do we use the witness? For what purpose do we want to keep it around? So I think that, to me, is the biggest question, you know, like because I can watch myself. Oh, remember when Lev was little and Ian had just been born? These are our two sons. They're 4 years apart. And so Ian was an infant, and Lev was about four, and we were doing a performance somewhere, and there was a stage, and we asked Ian to watch
we asked Lev
to watch his brother as we walked a little bit distance to talk to these people, and we heard a thud, and Ian fell off the stage and didn't fall very far.
But he's never recovered.
Well, no, he has. But we said, accusingly said to Lev, we told you to watch your brother. And he said he did watch his brother fall off the stage.
He did a good job.
He watched him fall. It was really good. So that's what I say, you know, what is it for? What does it mean to watch? You know, we could have been more explicit and said, watch and make sure your brother doesn't fall off the stage.
Well, one thing about it that continues to drive home is that by stepping back, I am aware of myself as a player in the picture. So rather than or in addition to just looking out through my subjective eyes at a world and then making all the assumptions and deductions and reactions that I do, but when I step back and I see me, this conscious, volitional, personal being, interacting with all of that, the picture is mightily expanded, and I get to see myself in relationship to all of that rather than myself being over here. and yet being over there.
What if you saw all that and made deductions that you were terrible or they were terrible? I mean, it could lead you to be a judge just as easily as it could lead you to a place of love.
Well, there's the rub, isn't it?
So that's why I'm saying, what do you use the witness for?
Well, not to judge, but to just do what I said, which is to expand, experience, and appreciate, and value, and admire, and be curious about, deepen, explore, and become more conscious, more aware, and especially more expanded in my awareness and better able to hold more in my perceptual world and in the possibilities of my own personal expression.
So I ask you, and what does that do for you?
I keep thinking I'm answering the question.
No, but you're not. To me, you're not. All you're doing is telling me what it is, but you're not telling me what it does.
It makes me more expanded.
So, and when you're more expanded, what does that make you?
Bigger.
And when you're bigger, what does that make you?
Where are we going? I feel like I'm being interrogated.
No, because you said you don't understand what I'm asking, and I'm asking, for me, a very legitimate question. Like, I can have an expanded consciousness and conquer the world and kill everybody.
Right.
So what does having an expanded consciousness mean? I mean, what is the motivation for having, for creating that expanded consciousness? That's what I'm getting at.
Well, first of all, I believe that the more we do stand as the witness, and the witness is objective, that's important, that there's an objective witness. It's not throwing in its point of view about everything and splashing it all over everything and getting it all dirty with its points of view and mixing the colors of its points of view with others' points of view. It's objective, and it's... And if you can stay in that space of non-judgment, I don't believe you would go into those negative spaces that you just described. But that's just my belief.
So, in other words, what I hear you say is that as we witness, and we don't judge, because that's the part that's very important, it seems to me. Objective witnessing, we are able to take in more, understand more. And then we can do more better things.
It reminds me of a...
No.
Okay, I think we got that clear. I want to share a poem that I wrote many years ago. Then I have to tell you an interesting story about it. The poem is called I Am Responsible. And I think it fits with our subject to the degree that it describes, at least for me, what I feel I am responsible for and to. So here you have it. Well, I am responsible for myself, for the way I think, the decisions I make, for the aftermath of my lusts, and the consequences of my desires. I am responsible for my feelings, for the glad and the sad and the mad, for the hurt and the guilt and the joy, for the down and the up and the blasé and the many states I make that harass my soul and tickle my fancy, and for what I do with my fear. I'm responsible for the sounds in my head and how I interpret them, and for giving voice for my convictions and erecting my boundaries, and for saluting my own authority in spite of how the world is bowing down. I am responsible for my fulfillment, for the dance I make as I wander through choice land, for making the most of wrong turns and misinterpretations. Ooh, whoops, that was a bummer. And for finding the new road when life appears opaque. I'm responsible for each moment, for making sure it is lived. Whether foolish or depressed, at least to know that I have been fully there, to cast off regret and to stare the future gratefully in the face. I'm responsible for the people I pick up, the people I pick out, for how I see them and for the way I hold them in my heart, and for making the meanings out of the memories that we share. I am responsible for my stories, for seeing life as an unfolding, never-ending tale, for seeing the joke behind the choke, for receiving your stories with an open heart, though they may haunt me with forlorn or plague me with regret. I'm responsible for hanging the towels right, for washing the dishes, for taking out the trash, paying the bills, for recalling mom and dad once in a while with an understanding heart as I look over my shoulder at our shared journey, for redirecting my anger when you don't do what I want you to do, or at least being mindful of my choice when I don't do these things, for finding out who is the I that I decided when I chose not to sweep the floor. I am responsible for my children, for guiding them safely and heartily into possibility, for pointing out the landscape as we travel, the opportunities for transcendence and for the multivarious paths and how they might select the ones that suit them the best, and then to stand aside and let them go, even if the road they choose clashes with my own most deeply felt beliefs. I am responsible for taking God's hand by opening my own, for looking beyond the look, stretching past perception, for cuddling inside the infinite when I feel lonely and bereft. I am responsible for the world I make and how I change the other fellow's view. By the me I make out of the turbulence of my life and the bounty of my love. I am responsible for my part of creation to see how it fits with the rest, for enjoining my brothers and engaging my sisters, so that together we can take responsibility for our world, the way it evolves, the mystery it evokes, and the beauty that emerges in the ways we can meet, and the wake we leave behind as we pass through responsibility, the gift, the opportunity life bequeaths us to help us become who we are.
Faith to it is a home. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord, yeah. From coast to coast, faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's room for all of the love and all the youth. Yeah, to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances are thinner, 'cause there's no hiding place from the King of Stones. Oh, people get ready, there's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, you just thank the Lord, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's that?
Eva Cassidy. Once again, we've been featuring her on our program since I've basically fallen in love with her, since I discovered her on Pandora.
What's the name of that song?
People Get Ready. Mm-hmm. So I believe that's a big part of what this show is about. It's helping people get ready. And this is Insight Out, The Naked Truth. Where we, what were all the things we said we do? Oh, yeah, you read it. Nudity is not just skin deep. And that has to do with the fact that we live in a clothing optional community where nudity and the exposure thereto is something that occurs fairly often.
Very often, especially if it's warm. And people are, we are very funny about being naked in front of each other physically. And we're even funnier about being naked in front of each other in terms of our vulnerability. I mean, oh, God, we do not. Like, you know, when you watch a little cat turn over on its back and let you rub its stomach, you know it trusts you. You know, there's a sense of that. And not too many people, and to me that's a kind of nudity.
Well, there was a bunch of people up here by the pool. They were all on their back.
And God, it worked.
They were naked.
Oh,
were,
Errol. Well, you do that all the time.
It's strange image.
It's not true, that's all.
Oh. Well.
It's not true.
It's my fantasy. And you can respond, by the way, to what we're sharing by calling in live right now, 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you, 888-627-6008.
I realized that for me, the witness allows me to be my best because I'm constantly, one, I have a sense of what that means to get to center. And the witness allows me to constantly come back to center. That's what the witness does for me. A witness is just watching me get off center and giving me a little nudge and making me, and I get back to center using whatever tools, inspiration, props people or whatever to get to come back that way. And I think that
what is center though for you? Back to center. That again is
to be
term.
Aligned with my mind, body, spirit, and mind, body, thoughts, and spirit. To be aligned with all those things. That's the
so what
line.
What does that mean? Aligned. Yeah, I'm going
to
do it to you.
Okay, I'm happy to. I'm happy to explain it. I hate to be obtuse. You like to be obtuse.
One of the things that Rochelle and I have struggled with over the time we've been together is our relative attitude toward being obtuse. It took us like the first 3 years of our marriage just to learn to spell it. Then, after that, we had to arrive at our mutually, I don't want to say hostile, but different.
No, there's male obtuseness and there's female obtuseness. And I don't care what anybody says who thinks that we're all the same. Men and women are not the same. They are different species of, different types of the same species, or what kind would you
with
say?
With different kinds of obtuseness.
That's right, with different kinds of obtuseness.
And it seems
and
like obtuseness
weighs more than other obtuseness.
Yeah. It's one of those words that the more you say it, the less you know what it means. Obtuse, 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 obtuse. It's like
obtusimos, obtusamos.
Right, right. So, then once in a while we let the silliness take over. But back to the...
What question did you want to keep asking me? I'm willing to answer.
Well, you talked about being center, and I asked you what is center. Then you talked about being aligned, the body, your body, mind,
and
spirit.
If you say to me, how are you? And I am feeling like, ugh, and I say I'm fine, I'm not centered. Because I'm not aligned with my thoughts. I'm not aligned with my mouth. I'm not aligned with my body. I'm pretending I'm lying.
But let me just play the advocate for the devil. And that is...
Okay.
And by the way, is the devil's mischief. Just keep that in mind next time.
The devil's mischief?
Yeah, that's one of... Yeah, the devil's mischief.
That's a funny way to say it.
Well, it is, And of course, what we mean by the devil to me is really the part of us that would continue to relate to reality as if we're all separate parts.
Okay. What were you going to say as the devil's mischief? You forgot, didn't you? Is that an old age moment?
Well, let me see if I can remember, and then I'll tell you.
Somebody I was working with today came into the room, and she said, "Why did I come here? What do I want?"
Well, this is the question I was going to ask you, because you said you may be feeling like, but you'd say, I'm fine. And now maybe there's another part of you that is looking at the situation, the witness, and is you and the person, assuming you're with someone that you're with, and you say, do I really want to lay this on this person at this moment? And even though I feel, I just say,
So let me say it differently. Maybe if you were really coming from center, you'd say, I'm not feeling so good, but I don't need to lay it on you.
Well, there you go. So we've arrived.
I mean, to me, that's coming from center. That's your truth. That's what's really going on, and you can express it. You don't have to mess up anybody else's head.
Sometimes I have done it, and we've observed other people doing it. We've talked about it. When you give yourself full permission to express in your body what you're feeling, we had a friend
once, a
long time ago in Colorado, and she owned a print shop, and she was there, and a customer came in who had a complaint about not a print shop, it was a sign shop, a sign that they had made for him, and he was very upset about it. And she laid down on the floor like a little kid and pounded her fist into the ground and her pounded her heels of her feet into the floor and going, oh, I did that. It's a terrible. She was like 3 years old and gave herself complete permission. At least this is what she related. I've imagined it ever since. And the guy just kind of stood there with his mouth open.
So, and said it was okay.
Said, it's okay, lady. All right. Okay, it's a lady. I believe that, speaking of congruent, being the witness, often as not, it's what we withhold that creates as much interference with our quality communication as that which we express. So the person picks up that there's a withhold, if they're at all sensitive, and of course, many are not. And on some level, that's being communicated to them. And if that person is insecure at all, they might be inclined to interpret that you don't trust them. Therefore, there's something wrong with them. And so it feeds into their low self-esteem or self-hatred. And so then they come back with an attack or dismissal or something to that effect.
Yeah, that definitely can happen. When I was little, I'm very sensitive to the withhold, what people don't say. And sometimes the withhold seems, when I was little, was louder than what came out of their mouths. And I addressed the withhold. Like I would have said, oh, you'll be better. Or like, I'm sorry you're not well. Or I'm sorry you're having an upset. And when the person did not express in words that they were having an upset, they would get very upset with me. And I learned to repress that talent for picking that up in people. And because it was really hard as a child not to respond to the louder voice. And so I just stopped listening because it caused me so much pain. I felt ostracized. I felt misunderstood and everything else. And today I hear it, and I've gotten much better at dealing with it.
How do you deal with it now?
Well, like I said, you know, like are you having difficulty asking questions? Like, are you having difficulty? Or is anything going on right now in your life or something like that? You know, like, you know, would you rather we talk another time? Or I address it, but I don't address it with the kind of overt curiosity that I had as a child, you know, like, hey, what's happening? You know, what's going on with you?
So you made space for that person to have some choice. And I would suggest that the reason you've progressed and matured in that area is because you have been a witness. As you lived, you observed you observed you saying these things, people's reaction, and you did make are they judgments? Are they assessments? What's the difference? I think you assessed the situation and...
I was off center. I assessed that I needed to get back to that place of where they were as important as I was as well. You know, that I wasn't just me, about me.
But I thought it's all about you. That's what you keep telling me.
Well, it is in one respect.
Okay. Okay. I can always get Rochelle's attention when I stop and I say, can we talk about your hair?
No, because I know already. You have to use another line because I got that line.
So that's
already
over now. Well, one of the things that we have arrived at, I think Rochelle and I would agree, is that the biggest culprit is this nonsensical belief that we are separate from one another. As compelling as the body of evidence may be, because it really does look like we are separate little objects, but as physics is showing us and science, not to mention the mystical perspective, the more we drop into the deeper and the deeper, or the more far out we get, the more is just space, and space in which there are patterns and formations of relationships that come together in a very dynamic way and show up as specific identity. But I would like to suggest that they don't show up as separate objects from each other. So let's pause to think about that while we hear this song. It's from another era, but I think it's appropriate. It's by Freebo, and it's called Before the Separation.
Before one was living on a promise. In unity and dignity, together we were one, believing in the freedom of a dream. Once upon a great frontier, not so long ago, the hope of man and earth were so connected. This beautiful creation, here to help us grow, is watching as it slowly slips away. On this carousel of madness, on a host kingdom come, I see our dream just melting in the sun. Won't you take me back to Eden, to a time when we were one, before the separation had begun? For the ones who have the money, and the many who have not, the great divide grows wider by the moment. Equal opportunity doesn't mean a lot to the one who has to struggle to get by. On this carousel of madness, on the host kingdom come, I see our dream just melting in the sun. Won't you take me back to Eden, to a time when we were one, before the separation had begun? Hiding in our light, we blindly close our eyes. Safe but not so sound, no freedom to be found. Fighting for a cause that I believe in. Tactical delusions lead me not astray, for the voices of the healing will survive. On this carousel of madness, on the host kingdom come, I see our dream just melting in the sun. Won't you take me back to Eden, to a time when we were one, before the separation had begun? Won't you take me back to Eden, to a time when we were one, before the separation had begun?
Before the Separation by Freebo.
How do you spell that? F-R-E-E-B-O-W?
B-O.
B-O.
Freebo.
Freebo.
Sounds like a name he gave himself, doesn't it?
Well, there, I don't know.
Some people might say that song is kind of dated because it was probably written and recorded in the 70s or 80s, but still seems pretty relevant to me.
Well, it certainly is. But what I became aware of is that it appears we're separate from each other because we have separate containers, you know, that, and then of course we live in little houses and that's more containers that are separate from the other containers that other people, then we drive in cars that are containers that separate us from the other containers, and it's the containers that separate us. So what I'm always asking myself the question is, like, what connects us? You know, because these containers always get in the way. You know, like then you start judging the container. Well, he's got a more svelte container than I have, or he's got a better car or a bigger house. You know, all the containers are what we judge. And the place that we connect is not as defined and is not as easily seen or felt as the containers. And I think that's why we buy into the illusion of separation.
You gave me an idea Next time I meet someone, instead of saying, how are you, I'll just ask them, how's your container today?
I'm sure they'll understand immediately what you're saying.
Yeah? Really? I wouldn't have thought that. I thought it would be kind of obtuse.
I think it would be pretty obtuse. I think so, too.
But
to say that we're connected, you know, like, what connects us? Is it energy? Is it... It's certainly not matter.
Well, it certainly is matter if you think of air as matter. I mean, we've got this.
Well, just, that, I think of air as energy, but.
Well, it's actually matter. It's molecules of things,
okay.
Relationships.
All right.
So, you know, on the most basic level, I think as we mature, the thing that ideally starts connecting us is as we progress in attaining mutual understanding. Understanding is an amazing salve and catalyst for deepening and expanding our awareness of ourselves and each other. And therein is the...
Now, what comes first, the awareness or the understanding? I mean, do we become aware so that we can understand, or do we have to understand to become aware?
I think you can get it coming or going.
That's very liberating.
Well, yeah, it doesn't really matter. There's a line in the Urantia book, which we've quoted a lot in the show, one of the many books that have inspired us, that have found their way into memory. And
Errol's memory.
into my memory. And it suggests that what we remember is that which has spiritual value as we grow and take with us, and that it would behoove us to cultivate that kind of spiritual consciousness, none of which actually was what I was headed off to say, but my mind got diverted by a mental lapse.
But and you became aware that your mind had gotten diverted
and
had a mental lapse, so now you've come back.
I'm still entertaining the mental lapse, and the mental lapse, just, they fly at me, kind of like flies, and they just come into my mind, and they separate where I'm headed from where I end up, and that's
you
what we
are
call
weird.
Them. Wait a minute. Well, that's the whole
when
point.
You're not being obtuse, you're being weird.
Well, we know what weird is. So back to who we are, insight out, the naked truth. I'm Errol Strider, and you are?
I am, and have been, and if I'm still here, I will be Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And we were talking about containers, observing yourself in these containers. So the question I would ask, which is, what is inside the container? Let's say the body is the container, but then what is it containing that is actual substance? Is there something there that's being contained?
Well, on a very physical level, what's being contained is all my guts and my, you know, all the bloody stuff, and the container keeps it from running all over the place.
Of course. Of course. And we are.
And in that sense, we're all connected because we have all that same thing
and
underneath.
And we are so
it.
Happy that none of that stuff is just coming out.
Now, do you think, like, if they took all our insides and put them out on the outside, we would still have differentiation? Or do all hearts look exactly alike and all lungs look exactly alike and all stomachs, et cetera, look exactly alike?
I don't know. We could find some corpses and do a little investigation. I suspect they have, like most of us, the basic components, the four parts of the heart and the 29 parts of the lungs.
It's very interesting. I was looking at a cat the other day, and I thought, well, to a cat, what are the differentiations? You know, is it like, is it the fur color and stuff like that? Or is like certain, can you recognize each other in the dark? Is there other factors that come into play that connect them? And I don't know why I got into that as a
We have a cat that's come visiting. So we've lived here for a long time. And all of a sudden this black cat comes over in the last week and meows. Now, Rochelle because it's so plaintive. It really sounds like he's whining and upset about something. But to me, it's Cat. That's how they sound. And I think he's just coming over and saying, hey, how you doing? It's just me, the Black Cat, wanted to get acquainted.
I don't want to feed him. I don't want to take care of him. I want him to be outside and or go back to whoever was taking care of him.
And now the part that you that's witnessing.
Me. Like, I feel terrible for saying that.
I could feel it. Could you feel that all the way through these radio waves? Rochelle's feeling like she should take care of the poor cat.
Yeah, I should.
What's wrong with
it? I should.
Let's do our little riff.
I just started it.
Okay. You should. So we're going to do a little riff for you here. And it is about coulda, shoulda, woulda.
You know, I could have. I could have.
Well, you should have.
I would have. You should have.
I could have.
I would.
Yeah. I could have. But...
I should. Mm. I should.
Yeah, I would have. Yeah. I would have.
You could. You could.
Yeah. I should have.
I would have.
You could have.
I should.
Yeah. And there you go. It's just that when you take something like that, those concepts, and you mix and match the different possible perspectives, and next time you go into a shoulda, coulda, woulda, you might stop and be the witness and actually play out the different possibilities. Or perhaps look at today or any day that you've gone through where you went, oh, I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda. Or, I should have. Mm.
I did something today that I walked away from and went, I'm really glad I did that. Now, somebody might think I shouldn't have done that. Somebody might think that, but I could. I did it. Somebody might have thought that I shouldn't have done. And I went through this whole thing, but I was glad I did it. So, I wanted to, and I did it.
So you didn't have any of the shoulda, coulda, woulda syndrome?
No, I really didn't. I was very clear. It was like, okay, I made all these decisions, and I went and I was clear about it.
So why don't we just give you some space and listen to this song by Hilary Duff called Someone's Watching. It's just so simple and delightful and allow you to reflect on your witnessing and how you might re-regard the shouldas, the wouldas, or the... Here we go.
Oh.
Well, that was Hilary Duff. We can't play the entire song, but it's definitely worth listening to. And perhaps there's a hint in the title and what she sings about, someone's watching over me. And I think we're invited to be that someone who's watching over me. And that is the witness with compassion, understanding. What else would you like to add to that, Rochelle? We're going to sign off in just a few seconds.
Adjusting with love.
Adjusting with love. Yeah. Did you ever get a love adjustment? They put you on the table and they kiss you all over your psyche.
Uh-huh. Well, this is Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And Errol Strider. And we are Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We'll be back next week with another exciting adventure in the exploration of what really, really is going on
deep
inside us.
Remember, fear is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
You heard it here, folks. Be with you soon, and good night.